Hello, and welcome back to the Spring to Life podcast. I'm Caitlin, I'm your host. I'm also a holistic hormone health coach, fertility awareness educator, and Pilates instructor. I created the Spring to Life method to help women embrace their natural cycles and live more balanced lives. And this podcast is about helping you achieve that. And a big part of that, I think, is hearing stories from other women, hearing the experiences of other people. And I'm really excited today to be joined by Jess. So Jess has given me my first astrology reading, and I was introduced to her through a mutual friend, Lily, who was just on the podcast a few weeks ago. Lily and Jess have a podcast together. So Jess, welcome to the podcast, and give the audience a little bit more background on you and where you're from, what you do, all the good stuff.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. I am so excited to be here. Oh my gosh. So, as you mentioned, you know, we were introduced through my co-host, Lily. So her and I co-host a podcast together. It's called Sisterhood of the Rose, where we dive into spiritual topics, different spiritual topics, in a very experiential and grounded way. And as of recently, you know, I have a background in holistic health coaching, but I took a little bit of time off from that to kind of like find myself again because I was burnt out, as I think a lot of women experience. But I took some time off to really just find myself again. And in that time, I studied astrology. And then in the midst of receiving my astrology certification, I found 13 sign astrology, and the resonance that I felt with it was truly next level. And I followed my curiosity, and it led me down this path to share this very unique system with people. And so I've reemerged recently in my business using 13 sign astrology and sharing it with people. And it has been just so rewarding and so fulfilling. So I'm really excited to be here and chat more about it today.
That's so cool. I've listened to, I think, a lot of your story and your background just through your podcast. You have been very open in sharing like how these systems have affected your life, how they reflect your life, and, you know, the changes that you've made. So I think it's really cool to hear how you kind of totally immersed yourself in it. And then now it's being woven into the work that you do. So were you always, before you started your initial astrology certification, were you really into astrology in your life, or was it something that you just were like, I want to know more about this, and you kind of dove in?
I love this question. I've actually never been asked this before. So I was not into astrology ever, even in my spiritual awakening, which happened in 2021, I had actually an aversion to astrology. Like, I just thought I didn't resonate with it very deeply. Like, in mainstream astrology, I'm a Sagittarius, and I definitely embody different aspects of Sagittarius energy, which we can talk about later. But I don't know, there was something about it that I always just felt like a disconnect to, and I just never felt drawn to it. So just the way my intuition works is I'm either really drawn to something or I'm like really closed off to it. I was explaining this once to Lily. I was like, my intuition is like when I know something's not for me, it feels like there's like an invisible wall, and I just like, I can't have anything to do with it. And so I actually felt that way for a long time about astrology. And I found human design earlier on in my spiritual journey, and that was 100% for me at that time, still is in many ways. But then after a few years, it was actually in the time that I was taking off from my business, I started getting the pull toward astrology, and it was very drastic. And I was just like consuming information left and right about it. And it actually was around mainstream astrology. And so that's when I made the decision to do a complete certification and like really learn it, because I always joke that this is my Scorpio energy, because Scorpio is like super intense and loves to go like super, super deep into things. But I literally can't do anything half-ass. Like I always have to like go all in is what I've learned about myself. And so I went all in on that. And it was just so interesting. I feel like these tools find us when they are meant to find us. So it was really fascinating and interesting to me to just reflect on how I never was really into astrology. And like growing up, I was never into it. And then suddenly it found me when it needed to find me. And then through that process is how I found 13 sign astrology. So yeah.
That's so interesting. And I think I posted in my stories before we got on to record, just giving like a little preview of what this week's podcast recording is about. And I kind of shared a similar reflection where I had known my mainstream astrology for a long time. And in mainstream astrology, I'm a Leo sun and a Leo rising. And I've been a performer. That part of it resonated with me. But anybody that knows me in my like real life is always surprised to hear that my sign was Leo. Like if somebody asked, they'd be like, oh, I guess I could see that, like kind of thing. And so I felt like part of it resonated with me and part of it was like, I don't know how much this really makes sense for my life. So with connecting with you after you and Lily released your initial podcast about 13 sign astrology and learning that my signs actually change was so intriguing to me. And that was what really pushed me to want to get a reading with you, because I was like, wow, I wonder what, like, I don't even know what these other signs really mean, because I had so few like different, like I had a lot of the same signs in my mainstream chart. So it was really interesting. And I'm so glad I did it. I'm excited to dive into more of the details. But first, maybe can you explain what 13 sign astrology is and what makes it different?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for that share. Giving you a reading was so, so much fun. So I'm excited to dive into it. But 13 sign astrology is a form of astrology that's deeply rooted in astronomy, and it follows the pathway of the sun through the sky in real time. So the pathway of the sun through the constellations is called the ecliptic. And there are 13 zodiac constellations that the sun actually passes through along the ecliptic, and they all vary in length. So what this means is that this system considers all 13 zodiac signs. And it also means that the zodiac seasons vary in length. And so in mainstream or Western astrology, which you'll probably hear me as we continue to talk about this, you'll probably hear me calling mainstream astrology, Western astrology, just because that is the technical name for it. But in Western astrology, there's only 12 zodiac signs considered, and they've all been divided equally into approximately 30 calendar days. So it's really set and it stays the same every single year with mainstream Western astrology. And usually the zodiac signs or the zodiac seasons rather shift around the 20th or 21st of every month. So it's always set. So with this system, just to put it into perspective, true Scorpio season, for example, is only 1 week long. And then true Virgo season is actually over a month and a half long. And so I like to use these constellations as examples because Scorpio is one of the smallest constellations in the sky, and Virgo is one of the largest constellations in the sky. And so what that means with this system, with 13 sign astrology, is the zodiac seasons in this system are matching how long the sun is in each constellation. So because of this, and because all 13 constellations are considered, it most oftentimes means that your sun sign has changed, which is what you alluded to earlier. Or if your sun sign doesn't change, like Caitlin's sun sign did not change, but if it doesn't, then your other natal placements will. So like your moon and your rising signs, for example. I've seen multiple sun signs stay the same, but I've never seen other placements all stay the same. So that really flavors your sun sign in a much different way, which is again, kind of what Caitlin was talking about earlier with her chart. And so the constellation that was omitted from mainstream Western astrology is called Ophiuchus, and it sits in the sky between Scorpio and Sagittarius. So we can definitely talk about that more, but I really just like to say that this system and this form of astrology really connects us deeper to the earth, because it's connecting us to the true pathway of the sun through the stars. So that's really the gist.
Yeah, that's so interesting to hear. And I really like that statement that you just ended with, really makes sense to me. Like, it's really connecting us to the earth and like the way the sun is moving through the stars. Because when you were giving me my reading, I felt like, wow, this is so me. And then when I was just rereading the overview that you had written up for me, there was just so many details in there that I was like, that's like so spot on, like so true to like my life experience, that it was like kind of wild. And I'm curious, who made the decision of which constellation to omit for Western astrology? And if Scorpio is such a small constellation, how did they make the cut?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm so glad that you're finding so much resonance through your chart. That just makes me like light up inside. So, but yeah, so Western astrology was created around 2000 years ago. I want to say, I actually need to brush up on it was around the same time that the Gregorian calendar was created. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of conjecture around why Ophiuchus was omitted. Like, there's so much just noise around it. But what I think to be true is just that they were using astrology back in those times to help them with agriculture, because, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't have all the technology that we have. So they needed to know, you know, which seasons were going to be great for, you know, seeding and all of that around farming and agriculture. And so they basically aligned, it was around the time that they created the Gregorian calendar, and they aligned the constellations to the 12 months out of the year. And they just made it all match and line up. And it actually made sense back in that time. It actually mm-hmm. did align with the sun's pathway through the ecliptic. However, there is, and this is why I said earlier that this system is rooted in astronomy, because mm-hmm. there's a factor that mainstream astrology does not consider, which is called precession. And precession basically means that the Earth's orbit around the sun, it shifts a little bit every year. And so what that mm-hmm. means, that causes the relationship of, you know, the Earth to the sun and the stars to shift a little bit every mm-hmm. single year. And so therefore it shifts the timing of when the sun is going through each constellation. And so basically with mainstream Western astrology, it's just been kept the same. They have not considered the shifting of the Earth's axis in relation mm-hmm. to the sun. And so now that it's been so long, right? Because the shifting of the Earth's axis happens every year, very, very slightly, very mm-hmm. little bit. But it's been 2000 years. So the differences are very drastic between Western and 13th sign astrology, because 2000 years is a long time. So the Earth's axis has shifted quite a bit, and therefore the relation to the sun and where it's located in the sky has shifted quite a bit. And so that's usually why you see, you know, for instance, most people who are an Aries sun in tropical Western astrology are actually a Pisces sun in 13 sign. And mm-hmm. there's such a drastic difference because of that factor.
That's so interesting. And so I'm curious, does that mean, I'm kind of going back to the length of the Scorpio season, does that mean that there are fewer, or it's more rare to find like a true Scorpio sun in 13 sign astrology?
Yes. It's actually quite rare. And I'm actually a Scorpio sun. So Scorpio suns it's like November 23rd through, I believe, the 30th about, I think. So it's like that one window. And so, yeah, it's much more rare to find a true Scorpio.
That's so cool. How do we actually like relate with these signs? Is it because at the time we're born, the energy in just the atmosphere is kind of what we embody as we come into this earth?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a great question. So basically your natal chart, which is like the, you know, what I was showing you in our reading, it's like a circular chart and it shows all of the different placements of the planets. Mm-hmm. It's a screenshot of the sky at the exact moment that you were born. So that's why it's really important to get, you know, if you're ever getting any astrology reading, it's really important to know your exact birth time for the most accuracy. And the relation of that, or like the spiritual significance of that in terms of like what I believe, is that our soul chose to enter into this incarnation at that time for a reason. And you know, astrology, it's a tool for us. It's like a guiding light for us, to help us on our path here in this incarnation, because like, you know, our souls, like we have, you know, so much, like I believe in past lives and I believe in a lot of different incarnations and whatnot, but you know, we forget all of that when we come into this incarnation. And that's really where tools like this can really just help us with navigating our path and like remembering who we are. And mm-hmm. so the reason why it's like that connection to the stars and the different energies that they emit, you know, we chose to come in to this incarnation at that time for a reason, because we knew that was the connection, that was the time for us, and that this would be a tangible tool to help us do that. And you really just feel the resonance or you don't. And mm-hmm. people, I just believe that people who, you know, are on the spiritual path in some sense, it doesn't have to be super drastic or super extreme, you know, they feel the connection for a reason. It's almost kind mm-hmm. of like how, as women, like we're connected to the moon, mm-hmm. you know, and our cycles are connected to the moon. So it's just this feeling, and it's like this knowing that I think we all have within ourselves. But that's the concept behind it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad that you took the conversation there, because that was literally what I wanted to ask about next, as using astrology as a tool. And I can kind of share, I think, some of the contrasts in the way that I see the reading that I got with you as a tool, because as I was saying, I had all these Leo placements in my Western chart. And while I do like put myself out there for my business on Instagram, and we're recording this podcast right now, for the most part, I just love being at home. Like, I'm such a homebody. You know, I have a small group of close friends and we're spread out across the country. I'm not like a huge social butterfly, although I do like to have the option to go out once in a while, but that's not like something that I need to do every day. So I felt in the Western chart, like it's kind of like, I don't know, just that doesn't really make sense. But with my 13 sign chart, there is a big emphasis on home life and family and just kind of like the inner world. And so it made me reflect on some things where I was kind of either ignoring or neglecting or not prioritizing in my life, because I was so focused on these other things that I thought were important, like mm-hmm. Work, building my business, I guess kind of more external things, when really, and I had kind of been getting like drawn to this even before I had my reading with you, but I was like, I need to take care of my inner world. Like, these things that are bothering me, like in my environment and stuff, I know that when I start to take care of them in a way that like I really want, I'm going to feel better. And maybe that's going to let me blossom in other ways that, you know, I've just been pushing so hard for previously. So I think it was kind of like a tool for me to like kind of relax in some ways and allow myself to focus on other priorities in my life.
Mm-hmm. I love that share. And it goes to show how your intuition was already guiding you there. And it's like, that's what I mean, is like when these tools present themselves to us when we need mm-hmm. them. And sometimes we do need a little bit of external validation, honestly, to just to kind of tell us like, hey, you were right. You were right. Like, yeah, the thing that your intuition is nudging you toward, you're right. And so I feel like that's the experience that you had with, you know, receiving your chart when you did. And that's really important to notate, is that you are approaching it more from an inside out experience rather than an outside in. And that's really the emphasis that I like to, I really like to emphasize that with any tool or spiritual modality, is using it in a way of like what you already know to be true deep down versus looking at your chart and being like, oh, okay, well, I'm a Leo sun. So this means that I have to do this, 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 and this. So I'm going to force myself to fit that mold, and we're going to see, you know, that's just how I'm going to live my life. It's really more so about being like, who am I? And then how can I look at and receive my chart or even a reading? And how can that just remind me, give me that confirmation of like, okay, I already knew that about myself. And so this is just like giving me the like, yes, thank you. I am integrating it. I am like, that is who I am. I am owning it. And yeah, that's huge for you with your chart, because, you know, for those listening, Caitlin in her 13 sign chart, she's a Leo sun, but she's a Cancer rising. And then she's a Libra moon, and her moon is in the fourth house, which is the house of home. It's a very private, like comfortable, like house. And, you know, when it just makes so much sense that you feel so nourished. Our moon sign speaks to how we feel emotionally balanced and nourished. And so for Caitlin with her moon in the fourth, I was explaining to her in the fourth house, I was explaining to her that, you know, even though she has a Leo sun, what's going to nourish her is like having a really like steady home life, a very firm foundation in her external world, but also in her internal world, feeling that firm foundation within who she is. And then with her Cancer rising, like your rising sign is basically like what your sun and your moon gets filtered through when you like put it out into the world. So like your Leo sun is getting filtered through your Cancer rising. And what that means is that your Leo sun, which is like meant to shine bright, meant to be very passionate and meant to be seen and, you know, kind of that performer aspect, it's getting flavored by your Cancer rising, which is a much softer energy. It's much more emotional. It's much more kind of reserved a bit. So it makes sense for everything that you've shared, because even in my interactions with you, like you have a very soft energy. And so it's like a Leo sun with a Cancer rising is completely different from a Leo sun with a Leo rising, you know, like, which is what your Western chart is. But, you know, a Leo sun with a Leo rising, that's just a much like louder energy. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's really an important point to make, is that use these tools as, you know, they're just tools, and they're not meant to make you live your life in a way that doesn't feel true to you. And so that's definitely a really important thing. And it's okay to not resonate with certain aspects of it too. That's really big as well.
Yeah. Thank you for all of those like insights again. And I think that was part of what I loved so much about this reading, because another thing that I resisted about astrology previously was I was kind of intrigued by it, but I had these walls up where I didn't want to go in and be told like, oh, this decision that you've made is wrong because this is how your life is meant to turn out, or, you know, something kind of predictive. But you gave very like practical applications and asked like very astute questions that kind of like applied to it. And even like the things that you wrote out before we had our reading together were so intuitive. And a lot of it was things that were starting to come up for me. Like when I was rereading it, there was something about maybe you've tried to kind of like fit into a mold, but you're meant to do it your own way. And I have been really reflecting on that, especially in like the way that I share about Pilates on my platform, because there is so much that like, it's very trendy right now. And you see the things that are like viral or are appealing to people or people are being drawn to. And it's not, that's not the way that I do things, but I was still trying to appeal to those audiences. And I've realized within the last like 6 months to a year that I really, that doesn't resonate with me. I don't want to be known for things like that. I want to be known for doing it the way that I truly believe in. So it's just that kind of another layer of validation that like I am navigating myself down the correct path. So I think it was really cool. And I, as I was reading through that, I was like, I'm going to have to come back and read this like once a month or like every so often, just because there's so many layers to it. And there's so many aspects where you can't, like any kind of self-development tool, you can't do all of the things at once. You can like hone in on maybe one or two points to like really focus on, get those like as part of, you know, more integrated and then go on to the next layer. So I really appreciate like all of those different layers of it. I just think it's a really a cool tool.
Oh my gosh. I'm just so glad that you're finding so much resonance with it. And that's such an important point that you brought up, is that there are different points in the chart that I believe are meant for us at different points in our journey. And so it is, that's why I like to provide, well, usually of course, like my clients will record their readings with me, but I also really like to provide the written out format of your chart, because for that reason, so that like you can go back and you can read it and you can, you can get, you can do that as many times as you want, because that is what these types of tools, like they're, it's a never ending journey with them. And so it really is like different aspects of it are going to speak to you and call to you at different times of your life. And so it really is important to just like trust your intuition and just like hone in on those aspects and experiment with it, like experiment with incorporating, taking action on what feels right. And that is how you know if a tool or a system is really for you, is through the aligned action within it and seeing like, is this action that I'm taking that I feel intuitively that I'm getting guidance from this system, is it creating the change that I wanted in my life? And that's how you'll know. That is how you will know. And that has been my experience, is it's been, I mean, I'm very grateful that I found 13 sign astrology when I did, because I found it while I was still doing my Western astrology certification. And I didn't even finish my Western astrology certification because the last part of it was predictions. And it's really interesting. My intuition, again, like what I was talking about with like the wall, I could not get myself, like, it was like, no, predictions are not for you. Like, they're just not. And a lot of astrologers, especially in Western, do predictive astrology. And I don't believe in predictive astrology because I think that that ties people to timelines and outcomes that aren't their reality. And so I don't do predictive astrology at all. It's very much so rooted in the present. It's very much so rooted in like just your natal chart, because predictive astrology incorporates what's called transits. And so that's what you see with a lot of astrologers and mainstream, you know, they're talking a lot about, the different seasons and what's coming up and what that means. I don't tune into any of that. And I that's also not how I share astrology. And at first, kind of similar to you, how you were like kind of trying to like fit in with how people share astrology or Pilates. At first I was like, oh, I should probably, you know, really get into sharing, you know, when there's a new moon and what that means and on all of these things. And my intuition was just like, no, like that's just not how you're meant to share it. And so I've really just rooted into that and followed it. And it feels really, really grounding. And it just feels like it can really help people to be in their reality, which I think is like really important and is definitely something that in the spiritual space, it's real easy to get taken out of your reality. So
Yes, I totally agree. So that brings up a question for me. So you kind of alluded to like female connection to the lunar cycle, and obviously we've got like the astrological cycle, but I'm curious if are there cycles like within our own astrology, like you said, we're meant to like maybe address different aspects of it during different parts of our life. I think we've all heard of like the Saturn return. Like, how do cycles relate to our astrology?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So, with Saturn returns, it is when basically Saturn aligns with where your Saturn is in your natal chart. And so, what that means is that, what that means, and it takes a really long time for that to happen. So, it's usually around ages like 27 to 29 that that happens. And so what that means is that it's a very transformative time, and it usually tends to be a bit challenging. The planet Saturn in general represents a lot of, limitations, a lot of like challenges that we're meant to overcome, that we can then turn into gifts. But so that's where it relates in that sense. But I do believe in that too, because like for me, like my Saturn return, I had my spiritual awakening and I became a completely different person. But I still do think that to an extent it falls a little bit into the predictive. I don't know. It's more of like the transit astrology, which I don't incorporate that. As of now, it's just not something that I'm not saying it's not relevant. It's just not something that I feel called to share on within like the way that I practice it. So there are definitely are relevance, like there are what's called returns, but the reason why I don't practice it is because, first of all, my intuition, but second of all, there's not a tool that is accurate and aligned to 13 sign astrology. So the tool that pulls all the transits is aligned with Western astrology. And so to me, that doesn't feel like an accurate insight. Because, in Western astrology, like they're all saying that Saturn is in a certain constellation when it's actually in a different constellation. And it's the same for like the zodiac seasons. So for me, there's not enough technology out around 13 sign astrology to actually do transits to pull transits according to it. I'm sure you could do it by hand, but I'm like not that. Not that savvy, because again, this is very astronomy based. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I
Okay.
think specifically with like the Saturn return, I think I had a very intense experience. My life was upside down, like, and it completely changed everything. But I've also talked to people that, mild discomfort maybe like for a short period where it wasn't as intense. So maybe it just kind of depends on the culmination of things you've experienced, like what kind of change you're already ready for in your life. I was just curious how any kind of like rhythm might play into it.
And I think that that's kind of something too, where it's like I prefer to look on it, like to look back on it after it happened versus like preparing for it. Do you know what I mean? And that's where, because when I was going through my Saturn return, I didn't know I was going through my Saturn return. And I think that that made it better, because I think that sometimes, especially with astrology, people can be like, oh, well, I'm going through my Saturn return, so like my life is really hard right now. But it's like, is it really, like not to invalidate the experience, because like similar to you, I had a very like up life uprooting Saturn return as well, which I think is true for a lot of people. But I think that sometimes there can be like a little bit of fear inducing around it. And so not to say that it's not true, but it just is something that I don't feel like I am meant to incorporate into the way I like share it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense not to be like anticipatory about it. The same way you can't predict ovulation. Let's make a weird correlation there, but it's something you like confirm after the fact. Like you look back and you're like, okay, I see this evidence and that definitely happened. And yeah, I think that totally makes sense.
And there are times when I've had, like I had a Western astrology reading from an amazing astrologer, and she incorporated transits into it. And she told me, at the time I was searching for a job. I was like trying to revamp my career. I didn't know what I wanted to do. She gave me a time frame of like when I would for sure have a job. Okay. And like that did not happen. And I was reflecting on it, especially after I found 13th sign astrology. I was like, because I remember feeling like, what is wrong with me? Like, I was feeling like I should have something by now. Like it was written in my chart, all the things, and it didn't happen. And I think that is where it can get tricky for people. And I think that like that's one experience where, for me, I'm like, I don't ever want to like tie people onto things and like what things should feel like or what experiences should feel like. I think it's definitely much more, for me, it feels better to be just like so much more rooted in the present. And to go from there, because kind of like alluding to what we talked about earlier too, like different aspects of your chart are going to pop out at different times in your life. Now, the only thing that I do tell people that is related to like timing and stuff, and it's also related to Saturn, is wherever Saturn's placed in your chart, whichever house it's in, because for those listening, there are 12 houses in a zodiac wheel, in a zodiac chart, and they all represent different areas of life in whole sign system. I use whole sign astrology. Wherever Saturn is placed in your chart usually indicates the area of life that like you're going to develop or step into later on in your life. And so that's something that I do share with people, because that feels very true and just very resonant, and not in a way of like predicting. And every single person that I've told that to, it's been like just confirming for them, and myself included, in my own chart. And so that's how we can really use astrology as a tool for that validation of kind of like things that we already know. So that's, I would say, the one thing that I do incorporate timing wise.
I like that. So we mentioned your podcast, The Sisterhood of the Rose, before. I'm curious if astrology played any role in the creation of the podcast.
This is such a good question. Okay. So Lily and I decided to do the podcast in, I think it's summertime of last year is when we came together. We were like brainstorming about, what we wanted the podcast to be about, naming it, all of that. And things just kept getting like pushed back for us. Like life events kept happening, and we kept being like we started recording episodes, and life events just kept pushing us back. Like we were like, okay, we can't launch this month now because this is coming up for one of us. Like there were always things happening in our lives that were like pushing it back. And we were both like, why is this like creation process taking so long? And at first, I think both of us kind of went through periods of like a little bit of impatience, but then like when we really would like tune into it, we would be like, it's just not time yet. Like it's not time to like birth this creation yet. And so we were originally going to launch in November, then things pushed it back to December, then January. Anyways, long story short, we didn't end up launching until February. And when we looked at, we were definitely considering what the sun sign of our podcast would be, and the relevance of the zodiac season that we were in when we launched. Like, we knew that was a factor. And we just kept getting pushed back. And we were like, if we were going to launch in January, our podcast would have been a Sagittarius, according to 13 sign, True Sky. Mm-hmm. That's what we're following. And we ended up just like kept getting pushed back. And then finally we felt the go ahead in February. And I made a trip out to her and we like prepared everything and got it ready to launch. And we were like, oh my gosh, our podcast is getting launched in Capricorn season. And Capricorn is like the builders of the new earth. And we were just like, it's also a deeply feminine sign. It like very deeply feminine. In Western astrology, it's considered feminine because it's an earth sign. Earth signs are always feminine, but it also has a lot of masculine connotations put on it, which actually, you know, in just my exploration of 13 sign astrology, there's also some different interpretations around the signs. And in 13 sign, Capricorn is not the father energy. It's actually like grandmother energy, very wisdom, very feminine, very, very feminine, which we have always felt around our podcast. And so it made so much sense. And we just knew that like our podcast has an energy of its own and she wanted to be birthed in Capricorn season, especially just with like, you know, our mission with it and just how we really want to help empower people to take leadership in their life, especially around spirituality and like be the leaders of the new earth. That's like definitely something that, you know, we feel really resonant around. And so it was really, really interesting that that is when energetically it felt right for us to launch.
Well, that seems so fitting. Like as a listener of your podcast, like the wisdom aspect, clearly the femininity aspect, and just kind of like the spiritual leadership as well. I've shared before, like I always have loved the way Lily shares spirituality because it is so grounded, like in the present on this earth. It's like very natural. And I think the way that you guys have been speaking about these different types of tools, like astrology, and now you're getting into human design, and like sharing life experiences. If anybody listening to this conversation is enjoying what they're hearing, you're going to just love what Lily and Jess discuss on your podcast. So I'm really excited to see where the show takes you.
Thank you so much. And it's so interesting too, because both Lily and I are water suns. So I'm a Scorpio sun and Lily's a Pisces sun, again, in 13 sign astrology. Mm-hmm. And so just as you were talking, I was just really feeling like, oh my gosh, it's so nice because we both feel like the podcast has been giving us structure. It's been giving us that structure to express ourselves, and water needs earth to support her. And so it's just a really beautiful like combination of that with like both of our water signs, just getting that like grounded support, like through our podcast. And it really is like the grounding aspect that we want to bring to spirituality. And I'm so glad that you're feeling that. And so again, that just speaks even more to like her being a Capricorn.
I love it. Well, share all the things about you, where people can find you, where they can follow you. Are you giving astrology readings to the public?
Yes, I definitely am. So there's actually two ways that you can work with me. The first is through purchasing an astrological blueprint, which is actually like a PDF full write-up of your big three, which are your sun, moon, and rising. And so this is like the entry point, I like to say, because especially if you're like brand new to astrology or even to the 13 sign system, this offering really will lay it out for you in a really digestible way. And it's very customized. It's not just like, I'm just like copy and pasting, you know, a sun, moon, rising onto a PDF for you. It's like very, I really take the time to sit with your chart and look at all the different factors that are into play. And if there's certain placements that are really influencing your sun, moon, and rising, I'm going to include them in there. And then the second way is through booking a one-on-one reading with me. This is what Caitlin did, and it's just a really beautiful way to really dive deep into your chart. So it's really great if you do the astrological blueprint before, just because that frees up space for us to like go very, very deep into your chart. We can explore like North Node, South Node, which speak to your purpose in this life. We can explore your midheaven, which speaks to your career, Venus, which speaks to love, money, all of that. So it just opens up the space for that. And so, and then I also have an email list. So that's something that I just recently launched. So you can join that. I have all the information. Well, I'll send it to Caitlin so she can include it in the show notes. But I also have that on my Instagram. You can find me there. It's just jess.montasia. So I would love to connect.
Amazing. Well, we'll make sure everything is in the show notes. And if you're somebody that is like somewhat curious about this, I highly, highly recommend working with Jess in some capacity, whether it's the blueprint or it's the reading, because it's so worth it. It's really cool. So thank you so much for being here this week.
Thank you so much for having me, Caitlin. This was so much fun.
Thanks. Well, thank you for listening this week. If you aren't already, make sure you're subscribed to the show, and I'll talk to you next week.